Apostle Paul ends his letter to the Hebrews. He ends it with what we are calling tonight a benediction or a farewell of grace. It's a benediction of grace. Hebrews 13 and verse 25. Hey, let's read it out loud together. Y'all ready? Let's begin. Grace be with you all. Amen. And you say, well, what are we going to get from that? We're going to get a whole lot from that, okay? Grace be with you all. Amen. This benediction is a benediction that actually is common to all of the letters, all of the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians, to the churches, and to believers in general. And I find this really interesting. We actually have 27 passages of Scripture that, for sake of time, I'm not going to go to all of them. We'll go to a few of them here tonight. But I find this interesting that every time Paul began one of his epistles, he always began it somewhere in his introduction by saying to the believers, grace to you. And then at the end, he would always give a final address. Somewhere in his final words, he would say, grace with you. God's grace to you, God's grace with you. And I want you to see this in a couple of places. Again, you can literally go to all the epistles that God used the Apostle Paul to write, and you would find these addresses there somewhere. Romans chapter 1, go with me there. Romans chapter 1, and let's look at Romans 1 in verse number 7. Romans 1 and verse number 7. You say, why didn't you put this in the notes? Well, because I had 27 passages and I couldn't fit it all in there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you. You see it there? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse number 24. Here's what the Bible says. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There he says, grace with you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. What does he say? Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll do one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tonight, and verse number 23. The Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be what? With you. Grace to you, grace with you. 27 different times, like clockwork. Every time God used the Apostle Paul to write, and by the way, there are some other of the apostles God used to write other books of the Bible that did this same thing, but specifically the Pauline epistles, every time, grace to you is how he began, and grace with you is how he ended the epistle. And I believe that God has something he wants us to get a hold of in this seemingly simple truth that's communicated so many times for us in the Scripture. And, you know, as we begin this year, I really can't think of a better passage of Scripture for us to get a hold of, a better truth for us to benefit from than the one that we're going to look at here tonight. Let me just tell you, you need this grace to come to you this year. And you need this grace to go with you as you go throughout this year. You get a hold of this truth, it'll impact your day-to-day life every single day that you live. And so what does God want you and me to learn from these expressions of grace in the Scripture? Well, I believe there's four truths, four biblical lessons God wants us to learn from these two biblical expressions expressed 27 different times in the New Testament. And as we jump into what God has for us here, let's just pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Our Father, we come before you and thank you for this opportunity to open your word, Lord. And Lord, I believe that in this simple truth, there's a powerful and impactful lesson you want us to learn. And I pray, God, we'd benefit from the message of grace here tonight in your word. And may it impact our day-to-day life. Lord, as your Spirit helps us get a hold of what you have for us from your word tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The first truth, first biblical lesson I want us to learn from these expressions of grace here in the Scripture is the significance of grace. I want us to learn a lesson about the significance of grace. There, back in Hebrews chapter 13, the verse simply begins by talking about grace. What is grace? And why is it so significant for your life today? We're living in a time where the terms that are used by Christians, the terms that are used in the scripture, are being captured, stolen, abused, and used by just about every cult and camp that there is out there. And there is a church culture that talks about grace, but it's not biblical grace. It is unbiblical grace. We need to understand what biblical grace is. For many people, grace is nothing more than a license to live whatever kind of life they choose. That's not biblical grace. In fact, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Titus tells us, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly to the Lord. That's what biblical grace, that's the kind of life that biblical grace teaches us to live. And so obviously, our society and church culture in general has a grave misunderstanding about why what grace is and why it's so significant for our lives today. To give a simple definition of grace, you've heard this before, I'm sure of it. Grace is simply God's unmerited favor. And somebody asked me yesterday, what's grace? And I said, unmerited favor. And he said, okay, translate that for me too. Okay. And I understand using some words might be hard for you to wrap your mind around it, but a simple definition of it is that grace is God's unmerited favor. In other words, it is God giving us what we don't deserve, and we never could earn. We never could get it any other way unless God had just given it to us. Anytime that happens, that's grace in our lives. The scripture tells us about a great demonstration of grace in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. This is in your notes. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich." God gave Jesus to you, who were poor and unable to pay for your own sins. Jesus, who was rich and didn't have to go through all that he went through to save us, by the way. And God giving us Jesus is grace. That's why Spurgeon used to say grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's an acronym for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. That's the greatest demonstration of grace. And grace is God's unmerited favor. It's God's favor to unworthy people like you and me. It's by God's grace that we are preferred and promoted by God. The only reason that you and I are chosen, the only reason that you and I are then promoted and given opportunities to serve God, why would God need somebody like me to serve him? He's God. You know why we are given these opportunities? Grace. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10, the Apostle Paul talked about this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm not what I am today because of anything I've done. It's all God that's done this work in my life. And then he talks about how this grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but God promoted him and made him one of the most useful apostles. And all of that, Paul was saying, was grace. And friend, if you have been called, you've been saved, if you've been selected by God to be a servant and a soul winner and a minister in this world today of the gospel, that's because of God's grace. You know, you didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything special. Well, I guess God just made me real special, and I know a lot about the Bible, and that's why I'm so preferred and favored. No, it's ludicrous. If any of us have anything worthy of recognition in our life, it's all the grace of God. And so God, it's God's favor. God's favor and grace also teaches us that it is God who prevented and protected us all throughout our lives. He's the one that prevents us from doing things that otherwise would be detrimental to our life, and he's the one that protects us from things that could ruin our lives. That's grace. That's the grace of God as well. And I've learned this truth, and boy, it's been ministering to my heart this week. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12 actually talks about God's grace being like a shield for us. A shield that surrounds our life. And friend, you've heard it put this way before, I'm sure. If not for the grace of God, what's the rest of it? There go I. All right? The only reason I'm not an alcoholic stuck in the gutter downtown in some city is the grace of God. The grace of God, I was born into the family I was born into. And that grace is a shield that still prevents me from making a fool of myself oftentimes and protects me from the things the enemy would like to do against me. That's grace. God's favor. Grace can also be defined as God's help, even when we don't deserve it. See, grace is when we are too weak. When God gives us His grace when we're weak and He makes us strong. When we're insufficient, we don't have enough, we don't have what it takes, He's our sufficiency. That's grace. God giving us something we don't have. God giving us strength we don't know where it comes from. God making us able to do things we didn't know we could do. That's God doing that. And God gets all the glory for it as well. That is God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Chief of all, we understand that the grace of God, a good definition for grace would be that it's God's gift. Grace is God giving us something that we don't deserve and we could never earn. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this grace that we could take a whole lot of time to talk about tonight, and we won't park here any longer, it's so critical. In fact, it is the centerpiece of the Christian life. It is absolutely essential if we're going to live the Christian life that we do it by the grace, by the favor, by the help of Almighty God. There's no other way that we can do it. By grace we're saved, by grace we walk, by grace we stand, and when the time comes, by grace, He'll lead us home. It's all of grace. And I like what one man said. He said, the Christian life begins by grace, and it will end with grace. And so have you recognized the significance of the grace of God to your life today? And in recognizing the significance of grace, do you understand just how much you need God's grace today? It's significant for your life. So the first biblical lesson we learn here is the significance of grace, but I want you to see this second biblical lesson, and that is the source of grace. So we have seen what grace is and why it's significant, but now we need to understand, where does the grace of God come from? Where does it come from? And you know, nearly every one of the greetings that Paul gave and nearly every one of the benedictions or farewell words that Paul spoke in all of his letters that he wrote in the New Testament, they answer this question. We read this in Romans, Romans and 1 Corinthians. It's in Hebrews as well. But all of these letters, they start off telling us, at the beginning it says, grace to you from who? God. Yeah, from God. Grace to you from God. And at the end it says something along the lines of, grace be with you, or the grace of God be with you. And so the answer to the question, where does grace come from, if we're just going to answer it simply, it comes from God. God is the source of all grace. Grace is something that comes directly from God. What makes grace uniquely grace is the fact that it comes from God, totally undeserved. And in fact, we could go so far really as to say this. We say God is a God of grace. That's really just what you're really saying when you say God is a God of grace is you're just saying God is God. Okay? Because there's nobody else that gives grace. There's nobody else that's able to give grace. Now, we talk about showing grace to each other. We can't give grace to each other. We certainly can't give grace to God. God's the one that from whom all good things flow. He's the benefactor for every person in this world, and we can't do anything for God. God doesn't need anything from us. He says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. What are you going to do for me? There's nothing you can do to benefit God. God is not a barterer. He doesn't say, hey, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. That's not grace. That's not God. That's not how God works. Okay? God is a God who has all that He needs. He is the only self-sufficient person in the universe. He's got everything that He needs. And because He has everything, He can give everything to those who will receive it from Him. The picture of grace in the Old Testament is Joseph. Joseph was the one that laid up all the food in the storehouses, and everybody in the whole world came to Joseph because Joseph had it all. And Joseph had it all in abundance. They stopped counting. They had so much food in Joseph's day. And Joseph, anytime someone came to him, he just opened up the storehouses and said, let me give you some. How much do you want? You want some more? And he had so much to give that he was able to be benevolent with it. And that's how our God is. God has storehouses so full, we'll never be able to count the magnitude of his grace, of the goodness that he can pour out into our lives. And the fact of the matter is, he's the source from whom all blessings flow. We sing about this when we sing the doxology, and I love the doxology. Sing it with me if you know it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God, we praise, from whom all blessings flow. You want to know where grace comes from? God's the source of it. You have anything good in your life, it came from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, James 1:17 says. And all of us have been benefactors of the grace of God. And so God and God alone is the one from whom grace comes from. And friend, let me tell you something. Listen to me. You need grace in your life today. You need some help. You need some sufficiency because you don't got what it takes. Listen, you need to turn to God. He's the only one that can give it to you. The only one. You say, I need to talk to the pastor. I need to talk to this person. I need to talk to that person. And friend, it's not wrong to talk to counselors. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But friend, I can't meet your need. That person you think, well, if I can get a hold of them, they'll meet my need. They can't ultimately satisfy or meet your need either. It's only God that can do it. God is the one from whom grace comes from. Sometimes he chooses to administer his grace to us through one another. I understand that. But ultimately, it's God from whom every blessing comes in our life. And so we see the significance of grace. We see the source of grace. The third truth I want us to see tonight is the service of grace. Look at this with me. The service of grace. When we look at these expressions of grace repeated to us all throughout the epistles, every time we have noticed already that it begins and ends the same way. It always starts with grace to you, and it ends always with grace with you. Why is this? What's the significance of those prepositions? To, with, grace to you, grace with you. Well, in summary, let me just say this. What God is telling us through this is he's telling us how he administers or serves his grace to us. He's telling us how he wants to serve his grace to us, to give his grace to us. Grace to you, grace with you. And first thing I want you to see here is that grace comes to you through the Scriptures. If you want to write that down. Grace comes to you through the Scriptures. Paul always begins his letters with grace to you. Why? Because the words that we're about to follow were inspired by God. They were God's words. Literally, he starts writing his epistles and he knows these words are coming from God. And he says, oh, this is grace to you. And then he tells them what God tells him to write. He says, I'm going to send this grace to you. And then when they get to the end of the epistle, he uses a different phrase. But literally, what he is communicating in that grace to you at the beginning, it's never grace to you at the end. It's only ever grace to you at the beginning. And what he's communicating there is that these words that are about to be communicated to you are going to communicate to you the grace of God for your life. This is grace to you. And so Paul was making known that through their hearing God's word, grace was coming to them. And can I tell you, the Scriptures are the channel by which God conveys grace to us as believers. It's through the Scriptures that we begin to comprehend and to be able to receive the grace of God for our life. And this is still as true today as it was in the day that Paul wrote these words to the churches of that day and time. Listen to me. The reading, the preaching, the teaching, the meditating, the memorizing of the Word of God is still the way that God wants to minister his grace to your life here today. Do you want some help? Do you need some favor from God? Do you need some of that preventing grace? Do you need some of that sustaining grace? Do you need some of that enabling grace for your life today? Friend, don't turn to a self-help book. Don't turn to somebody else. You need to turn to the Word of God and let God show you in His Word how He wants to give His grace to you today for whatever it is that you're facing. God's grace comes to us through the Scriptures. Then the next part follows along with that, that God's grace goes with you through the Spirit. God's grace goes with you through the Spirit. Paul always ends his letters the same way. Grace with you. Grace to you at the beginning, grace with you at the end. And there's significance to that as well. This is because I believe Paul knew that after the letter was finished being read, and of course, they didn't write letters the way we do today. They wrote on parchment paper. The parchment would be rolled up and it would be put away to be brought out next time the church gathered together. But Paul knew that after the words were read, and they would read the whole letter every time they'd gather together, one of those letters, from one of those parchments. And he knew after the word had been read, the parchment had been put away, the people go home, that God's grace was not leaving them. God's grace was going with them. Because God had planted himself inside the heart of every believer. And as they heard the word of God, and that grace was ministered to them, there was an agent of God that went with every believer to their individual home, to their individual life, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God takes the word of God and ministers grace as the believer goes about his life. And I'm going to applicate this and bring this out further and elaborate it more in just a minute. But this is what the Scripture is telling us here. And so the grace of God given to you through His Word goes with us as believers when we leave our time around the Word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. So listen to this. The Spirit of God still uses the Word of God to send grace with us wherever we go in life. Wherever we go. Have you ever been somewhere and something happens, maybe somebody starts talking to you about the Lord, or maybe they start asking you questions about life, and all of a sudden you start talking, and you don't even know where the words are coming from. Like, wow, I didn't know I knew that. I didn't know I had that in me. It happens all the time while I'm preaching. It happens all the time when I'm counseling. The Lord will just give me something, and I'm like, what? That's grace, by the way. It's not because I'm smart. Okay? And you know, some of you probably experienced this too. God just gives you what you need. What is that? That's grace with you. Okay? Grace has already been ministered to you. And by the way, most of us don't even understand how much God is doing in our hearts when we're getting the Word of God. When we receive that grace being sent to us, God sends that grace with us by His Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit of God, God brings those things back up in our hearts and minds and gives us what we need. That grace goes with us wherever we go by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we see how this grace is served to us and with us through the Scriptures and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And the final biblical lesson I want us to learn from this passage of Scripture is your standing in grace. We've seen the significance of grace, the source of grace. We've seen the service of grace. But now we need to understand before we're done your standing in this grace. Now go back to Hebrews 13 and verse 25. Guess who it is that the Scripture says this grace is coming to? You. Grace be with you all. Now, we know Paul wasn't Southern because he said you all. If he'd been Southern, he'd say y'all, okay? But he said grace be with you all. Amen. This grace is coming to you. God wants to give His grace to you. He wants to send His grace with you every single day of your life. And therefore, if you're going to stand in the grace that God desires to give to you, there are some practical choices you need to make every day of your life to stand in the grace that God wants to benefit your life with. We'll look at these two choices and we'll be done with this part tonight. The first choice is you need to receive the Word. See, if God's grace comes to you through the Scriptures, the natural choice that follows is you need to receive the Word. You need to make God's Word a regular part of your life. Do you need grace today, friend? You need some help from heaven? You need some favor from the Father? The fact is, it can only come from the grace of God, and that grace of God is sent to you through the Scriptures. You need to make God's Word a regular part of your life then. You need to receive the Word. If you're going to stand in grace, you need to daily choose to make God's Word a part of your life. Listen, There's some days that you go through life that if you just would have opened your Bible and let God speak to your heart that morning, it would completely change your day. So long as you trudge through and try to do it all yourself and don't depend on the Lord and don't look to the Lord for His favor and for His help and for His guidance and for His grace in your life, you're going to keep on having that hard road. Well, if you just let God speak to your life, you come to church on Sunday and say, I actually want to get something from this today. I know it's a miracle sometimes to be able to get something from this preacher, but listen, if you let God speak to your heart, He'll give you something. And it'll change your life. You can open your Bible, you say, I just have a hard time reading that Bible. You open your Bible and ask God to speak to your heart, you'd be surprised what God start doing in your heart. Wow, you know what? You might face something that day and say, well, I just read something about that this morning. And we turn back over to that. And you might be shocked what God starts doing in your heart. Start receiving the Word. Make it a part of your life every day. That's how you have grace come to you in your life. And then the natural choice that follows after you receive the Word is to walk in the Spirit. Grace with you, like we talked about before, is how Paul ended every one of his epistles. And this is how Paul indicated God's word of grace was sent with God's people. And so if you're going to stand in grace, you must learn to let God's Spirit lead you as you walk through your life. God's word, that God's grace that goes with you through His word goes with you by the Spirit. The Spirit's the teacher. The Spirit can take the things that you've made decisions about this morning and perhaps will make tonight and help you put it in shoe leather tomorrow. Can help you actually practice it. That's why God has given you a Spirit. He's the guide. He's the comforter. He's the teacher. He guides you into all truth. He's the one, as you ruminate on the Scripture, He helps you understand it. He makes it clear to your heart. He's a light bulb. Ding. Oh, okay, now I get it. That's the Holy Spirit. That's grace. That's grace going with you. And every day, you need to stop trying to do it all yourself. Stop trying to get all the answers yourself and say, Lord, what do you think about this? And choose everywhere you walk, everything you do, Lord, what do you think? Lord, what would you do in this situation? And let the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart. It's not really rocket science. It's just living in continual communion with the Lord. You say, you mean I can pray anywhere? Yeah, you can pray anywhere. You see me walking down the street sometimes, or I like to walk, all right? And I walk to the church tonight from my house. But I'll often be moving my lips while I'm walking. And I'm sure some people think I'm absolutely out of my mind. And so now this is what I do. I put this thing in. I'm not actually listening to anything, but they'll think I'm talking on the phone, okay? But anyways, I'm talking to God is who I'm talking to. You know, you walk down the street and talk to God. You can talk to God as when you're going about through your daily life, all right? Depending on the Holy Spirit doesn't mean every time you need to talk to God, you're in the middle of your work. Hold on, everybody. No, all right? Just talk to God. Make Him a regular part of your life. I'm making these decisions practical. You want grace to come to you in your life? Receive the Word on a regular basis. You want grace to go with you? Walk in the Spirit. Let God take His Word and apply it to your life in the day-to-day, moment-to-moment parts of your life. And I say as a pastor, it's my task to give grace to you through preaching and teaching the Word of God. And then it's my responsibility to trust that grace goes with you as the Spirit of God helps you apply the truth to your life. That's where it's really hard for me. Sometimes I think I should be the Holy Spirit and go home to your house and say, hey, I'm going to be God's grace for you today. I'm going to help you practice this, okay? Holy Spirit does a whole lot better of a job, okay? But we need to make the choice to let Him do it. So I wonder if you'll make that choice. Really simple truth, but impactful if you apply it to your life today. So if we're going to continue to grow and see more victories for Christ in our lives and in our church this year, it will only be by the grace of God. And we must choose to allow God's grace to come to us and go with us on a regular basis. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bowed.